all Packers, all the time.
He has come light years in the last 2 months, and people should be over the moon excited about that.
Okay, most of the time.
Almonds specifically, or all nuts?
Well, these nuts, those nuts, whatever nuts work.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, brought to you by Boucher Automotive. With 16 different new car brands and over 35 pre-owned brands to choose from, Boucher Automotive, we are driven by you.
Time with Jason Wilde. He joins us now on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, Jason. How are you today?
I am great. I'm focused. I am ready to be concise and insightful, fun, not suck as much as I did yesterday.
Okay, well, let's talk about Andre Dillard. How does he change what you think the Packers are going to look like on the offensive line this season, if at all?
He doesn't. At all. Like, he is a low-risk former first-round pick. Tausch says this all the time. First-round picks constantly have to prove they don't belong in the league, whereas people like Tausch, who were seventh-round picks, constantly have to reprove that they do belong in the league. If Andre Dillard was a sixth-round pick, I don't even know if the Packers pick him up, and B, we're probably not talking about him today, right? Like, I remember the Packers did a trade with the Eagles, and they traded John Michaels for a defensive lineman who the Eagles had drafted in the first round, who I think his first name was John also. Josh, you helped me out with this trade. Look it up in the Google machine. But it was like 1998, maybe? And what it basically was we picked the wrong guy, you picked the wrong guy, we think they both think, but we would love to see if a change of venue, change of scenery, maybe bring something out in these former first-round picks that we did not bring out. And so they basically swapped their draft mistakes, and I don't think, maybe John Michaels played a little bit for the Eagles. The guy that the Packers acquired, I don't think he ever did anything, and I think they moved on from him pretty quickly.
Defensive end John Harris.
Gosh, Harris, I knew it was a. Well, there you go. Point proven. But look, Jen, to your point, like if he was a first round pick. He's only started like what 19 games or something like that in 5 years. That's not the return you're looking for from a first round pick. And if he somehow discovers with the right coaching and a new system and a new team. Maybe you have your swing tackle. Maybe you don't, you know, the draft board doesn't fall the way you want it to, and the offensive linemen that you like are gone before you get the pick in each round, then maybe you're just fine with starting Rashid Walker, and maybe this guy can be your backup tackle.
All right, so I didn't get a chance to listen to the show yesterday because I had to go to the gym. Give me the nickel summary on Mel Kiper's review of Tausch.
Pretty spot on. Had him moving into guard, which I know a lot of people in that draft industrial complex had Tausch doing. I think they probably underestimated how good his feet were. But Jen was fantastic. I got to get some of that ESPN money where I'm not afraid to throw $100 at something like that instead of negotiating with the seller. And I did get some of that ESPN money for a year, but that's another story for another day. But look, this goes back to Jen's first question. Like, those are the guys, man. Like, you know, you're one of them, right? Sixth round pick.
But Jason, when I was a junior eligibility, right? Mel Kiper had me the number two tight end coming out, and I didn't come out. And then I didn't suck, but I sucked like testing out, which is kind of important. I could play football, but I couldn't, you know.
Run fast, jump high.
And look, first of all, Mel Kiper is not perfect. He's not omniscient.
Obviously, yeah.
Probably his evaluation after your junior year was clearly way off base.
Yes.
And he was a little more accurate probably your senior year. But look, I think it's important, and Jen hit on this while she was dramatically reading the review in Mel Kiper's book, is that there's two crucial things to this. One, you can't, all those measurables you just talked about, you cannot measure either the heart or the, shall we say, guts of a player, mm-hmm. the determination level, right? So that's one of the things. And the history of the NFL is littered with players who were dismissed, disrespected, whatever it was, and they had the fortitude to overcome the expectations that others had for them. But the other part is, you got to end up in the right place with the right opportunities. And, you know, Tausch doesn't particularly enjoy it when we talk about him, unlike Jesse, who always wants us to talk about him. And when we started talking about Tausch's career, my argument about him, and this would apply to you as well, is that he met the moment when the moment was available to mm-hmm. him, right? Yep. Like in 2000, you know, Earl Dotson's back locks up. If Tausch isn't ready as a mm-hmm. rookie during training camp to show that you can protect Brett Favre with a seventh-round rookie draft pick, then his story is completely different. So, yeah, he was determined, and, yeah, he had a chip on his shoulder, and, yeah, he has a faulty memory and didn't realize that he was in the book that he was in. But if he's not ready in that crucial moment, and then if he's not yeah. ready again in the game in Buffalo when Earl goes out again, then, you know, Marco tells a great story about him kind of running onto the field with these enormous wide eyes. And Marco's saying, you're fine. You got this. We know you can do this. And then he did. And so you're the same way, right? Like, if you had sucked in the opportunities you got,
yeah.
you're not doing this radio show. It's Jen, Gabe, and Ed West or something.
Yeah.
The toolbox.
Jason, Mike Reinfeldt told me years after, he's like, you were hours, maybe a day away from getting cut. Literally. That's mm-hmm. how close you were. And then Ed West got hurt before the Atlanta game. So they couldn't cut me. Reggie Johnson winds up getting hurt in that game. I come in, and I think I had 5 catches for 72 yards, and they're like, all right, we'll give you another chance. And then from he said I was hours, maybe a day from. And my life would be, yes, totally different. I'm sure we could all say that at some point about our career.
Is that because of all the Rocket Man snaps as the long snapper, Chew?
No, it's because it was the hamstring year that I tell you about. And I just, yeah, they were like, enough. This guy just got hurt too many times.
And that's, you know, if we're being honest, like, you know, I love Rob Domofsky. He breaks news. He's fantastic at what he does. What I love about this job, the thing that brings me back, other than, you know, needing to pay the mortgage and stuff, is the storytelling. That's what I love about the writing side of my job. And this side of it, too, about talking about this stuff. And, you know, your story and Tausch's and so many others through my soon-to-be 29 seasons covering this team is that stuff. Like, you were mm-hmm. at a tipping point. And the what-ifs, and there are other guys, by the way, who probably could have played and been successful players, but they didn't get in the right system, they didn't go to the right team, they didn't get the opportunity that you did, that you seized. And I just think it's so fascinating, the situations that all of you guys, because, again, I know maybe I'm a little different this way because I know other people that covered you saw you more as transactional and robots and not really giving a damn about you as human beings. Mm-hmm. But, like, the human condition of what you guys go through, I mean, like I said, I saw Free the other day outside the Bucks locker room when Sid and I went down there. And, like, I think back, I was telling Sidney, you know, this guy played a game with his jaw wired shut. This guy played a game with a broken forearm.
Yeah.
Like, he was as tough as they come. And then you start to think about, you know, Free growing up in Baltimore. I mean, he lived basically in kind of The Wire, if you remember that show from HBO. Like, those are the kinds of things that make doing this job really, really cool, is getting to tell your stories.
Jason, as we head into the draft, how many starting jobs do you think are open right now for the Packers?
Ooh, good question, Keith. Who, by the way, I emailed Keith. He is not, I, and I, I, I thought I sent it. Maybe I sent it to Keith Neitzel at AOL.com or something. But I still need to pay him for his work he did on our life.
They're a little busy right now. Just put up the house for sale. Have little transition going on in their lives right now. They'll get to it when they get to it.
Okay, good. I just don't want to be a. What would it be if you don't pay your bills? You're not a scofflaw. That's if you don't pay your parking tickets.
Deadbeat? Freeloader?
Yeah, deadbeat.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it means you're deadbeat.
Just work on the barter system.
Yeah. You got any Viagra? What? You can get. That's what Chewy does. He gives his Viagra to his neighbor. When
if you do, keep that to yourself. I don't know. I don't know if that's what you're bartering with, Jason.
So wait. So the barter system is I'm going to give Gabe's dad Viagra? Is that what I'm supposed to
do? Or vice versa.
It's how Chewy operates his life.
This is taking a turn. Keith, I'm sorry I got your name wrong. I still owe you $90. All right, so if you go through their offense, like when you say jobs open, starting jobs open, like the wide receiver starting jobs are open competition, right? Like we
sure.
don't know where Christian wants it, but we know that they have starting caliber players at those spots, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about earlier in the week, like the offensive line, I think they feel fine if the four doesn't go their way and they start the five guys that they would start the season with today. So I don't think on offense there's really anybody. There's some competitions among guys that they know are starting caliber players, but I don't think there's anything open on that side. On the opposite side, they have to figure out who the Sam linebacker is going to be. I was just finishing my linebacker preview. Quay is going to be the Will. I think Sam McDuffie is clearly going to be the Mike. But who's going to be that strong side guy now that they've switched to the 4-3? I mean, maybe it can be Christian Welch or Eric Wilson, and they already have that guy on their roster. And then the other spot is safety, right? I mean, if Eric Stokes isn't ready to go at one of the corner spots, they've already got Carrington Valentine, who they feel like can start with Jair and Keyshawn Nixon. So to me, the only other question is who's lining up next to McKinney? And as of right now today, it would have to either be Benny Sapp or Anthony Johnson Jr. So I would think that one of the cool things about this very young team is that it's full of competition, but it has, in their mind, enough starting caliber players that there is really only one absolutely glaring hole and then maybe another one at that outside, that strong side linebacker spot where you would say, we don't really know if we have a starter at that spot.
Jason, we appreciate you hanging out with us today. Have a great weekend, and we will talk to you again soon.
I was awesome today.
Self-evaluating, are we?
Well, I was definitely self-evaluating yesterday. That was
fun. We can all send right, you guys, a picture of my barter guy, Jason.
After he's taken what you've given him, or before?
Definitely before.
It's a great question. That's why you've been a reporter for as long as you have, Jason. You always know the appropriate follow-up to ask.
All right, this segment has been brought to you by... All right, I'll take care. Be good.
He's Jason Wilde. You can listen to him on Wilde and Tausch right after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy each and every morning here on ESPN Milwaukee. We got to take a break. We got to get to Craig Karmazin. Want to talk about those Milwaukee Bucks. I was just looking up at the TV, pointed at it for Gabe to look at. Tim Legler picking the Pacers to win the series against the Bucks. We'll talk to Craig Karmazin about that right after this.
Tune into Thanalysis Show every week. Bucks player Thanasis Adetokounmpo sits down with special guests to have fun and honest conversations. Conversations with NBA stars Damian Lillard, Donovan Mitchell, basketball media royalty Jay Williams, and more big-name guests already a part of Season 2, like the one that dropped earlier this week, the live show that they did a couple of weeks ago with his brother Giannis Adetokounmpo and, of course, Stephen A. Smith. So find Thanalysis Show today on Apple, Spotify, or anywhere else you get your podcasts. Subscribe to the Thanalysis Show YouTube channel for accompanying videos and special content.